And I will gather that which is driven away, and that which I have afflicted. And I will make that which was lame a remnant, and that which was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion. Notice that. In Mount Zion. From henceforth forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, there it is, tower of the flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Yea, the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. So, what I got from this many years ago, because the Lord also showed me a tower, was that we need to get in that tower to escape the judgments that are coming upon this world. You understand what the Tower of Zion represented whenever the beast kingdoms were coming to attack God's people? They would run inside the broad walls of Zion and have protection from their enemies. It was a tower of the flock. You know, in the cities also, and sometimes even in the field, they would build a tower to give them protection against an invading enemy. I think in Judges chapter 9, it speaks about Tabez, which was a city that had a tower. It protected them against Abimelech, who attacked their city. They got in their tower. And, we have a city of God. It's called Zion. It is a spiritual city, not just a physical city over in the Middle East. We have a born-again Zion, as Paul taught us about in Revelation chapter 12. Excuse me, Romans chapter 12. He taught us about that you have come to the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. We have a spiritual city. We have a spiritual King David over our city, Jesus Christ. And we have come to this. When you're born again, you're to be ruled by the city of God. And our pilgrimage is to the city of God, which he calls here Zion, the tower of the flock. You know, as we come to know the Lord, and as we submit to his word, we're climbing that tower. We're climbing that Mount Zion. And of course, Paul said in Romans chapter 12 that if a beast even touched that mountain, that it would be stoned. And we know that the beast is coming, folks. The beast and the people. We're going to be hated of all nations for the Lord's name's sake. But God has a place of safety. It's in Zion. Just as when Assyria attacked Israel, the northern 10 tribes, and Jerusalem, the people found a place of safety in Zion. Even though the beast conquered everything outside of Zion, everyone who was in the tower of the flock escaped. And that's the way it's going to be today, folks. If you find your way to Zion, you know, we have a spiritual pilgrimage in this world, and it is to go from Babylon to Zion. Babylon is our apostate religious ideas about God, and a lot of the religion that's been spewed in us from apostate religion around us about God, which is false. And then there's Zion, which represents the place of the temple of God, the true presence of God himself. And that's where the Lord wants us. He wants to be members, wants us to be members of his tower, members of his temple, a place of safety. Flee to Zion. Years ago, before I came to Pensacola here, about, 21, 22 years ago, before I came to Pensacola here, the Lord gave me a vision. And I suddenly appeared before what I considered to be the New Jerusalem. And it was on top of a mountain. And the door opened. The doors opened in front of this New Jerusalem, and there was standing the King of Kings, the Lord, and dressed up very regally like a king would be. And he invited me in to this great city. And I saw in this city a tower built. And the tower was built kind of like a log cabin, but it was tapered towards the top. In other words, it got narrower as you got towards the top. And then in the top, there was a place to stand in the top. And it was like logs stacked up, like you would make a log cabin, but in the top there was a place to stand. And I never had seen anything like this when the Lord showed it to me. But I realized that the Jews built places like this for a place of safety in their cities and things to protect them from an invading enemy. And so that they could stand in the top and attack their enemies who were seeking to kill them. If you remember, there was a woman who cast a millstone out of the top of one of these towers and killed Abimelech, who was trying to destroy the people of the city. He represented the beast, by the way. He had killed the 70 sons of Gideon and had made an alliance with the harlot in his day, which were the men of Shechem, to kill the 70 sons of Gideon, kind of like the 70 in Jesus' day and the disciples of Christ in our day. And the tower in Tabez, the city that we're speaking of, which means whiteness, you understand, the tower that we're talking about is purity. It's holiness. It's righteousness. You're climbing this tower into the purity and righteousness of God, which is a place of safety. Righteousness delivers from death. And, you know, the Bible tells us, for instance, in Jeremiah chapter 3, he commands his people to come down out of the land of the north and return, O backsliding Israel. Verse 12. And what he's talking about is Babylon. God's people were in spiritual apostasy because they had gone to Babylon. And the Lord invites them to come out of their backslidden state and to return to Zion. And verse 14, he says, "Return, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am a husband unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." See, the place that's the opposite of the backslidden state is Zion. "And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when you're multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, that they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, and neither shall they remember it." Well, of course, in our day, we don't need an ark of the covenant, do we? We have the Lord Jesus, we have His temple. "Neither shall it be made any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations," that's Gentiles, the word Gentile, "shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem." Well, you know what, folks? Everything that was spoken about natural Jerusalem is still true of spiritual Jerusalem. In the Old Testament, they had a natural city that was that represented the kingdom of God. The king ruled in that city. And, of course, they were the physical people of God, the Jews were. But now, we're not physically Jews. We're the spiritual people of God because we've been born again and grafted into the olive tree of Israel. Right? But we do have a spiritual King David, which is Jesus Himself. And we do have a spiritual city. Paul said that we have come to this city in Romans chapter 12. And of course, after that time, there was a great falling away, and God's people were taken captive to what the Bible calls Babylon, the apostate state. And now, in these days, God is calling His people back from Babylon to come back to the true city of God, the spiritual city of God, which He says here is the throne of the Lord. He said Jerusalem in that day will be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it. Now, I know some people think that this is out in the far distant future, but I'm here to tell you what the Lord told me, that that's not true. The nations are being gathered to spiritual Jerusalem today, right now. They are coming to the tower of the flock right now. They're getting prepared for an attack by the beast. which is what they used the tower for. The beast kingdoms that came against Israel, they fled to the tower. The beast kingdom of Assyria, they fled to the tower, and they escaped the judgment that all the northern 10 tribes who had worshipped the image of the beast, the golden calf, did not escape. But the ones who fled to the true city of God found protection and safety and deliverance. Notice what he says here in verse 17 that the throne of the Lord is. Okay, let me just say a couple more things here and then we'll have a station ID. He says, all the nations shall be gathered unto it to the name of the Lord. You know what the tower of the flock is? You know what the nations being gathered to that tower represents? It represents them coming to the name of the Lord. The word name in the Old and the New Testament have the same meaning. Nature, character, and authority of the Lord. You know what? Jesus gave us the opportunity to be baptized into His name. Into His name. That's what it means. Not in His name, but into His name is what the original says. And it means that we're coming into His nature, character, and authority. We accept it by faith when we get baptized. And we accept it by manifestation as we become overwhelmed by the washing of the water with the Word of God. The Word of God is to put to death our old flesh and bring to life the new man, who is Jesus Christ in us, who is the name of the Lord, His nature, His character, and His authority. Let's stop just for a minute for a station identification. To please the FCC. You see, you are listening to the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. I'll tell you that our website is americaslastdays.com. You're listening on Spirit One Radio and American Liberty Radio at 89.1 FM on most of these stations. So, if you want to be in the tower in these days, folks, repent of going your own way. Your religion will not save you. Repent of what the Pharisees and the Sadducees taught in Jesus' day, which is being taught today too, apostasy. Repent. Turn to the Lord. Believe in the nature, character, and authority of Jesus Christ that was given to you as a gift at the cross. Jesus gave Himself for us. And as we absorb His Word, His true Word, not the Word of religion, but His true Word, He's coming to be manifested in us. His nature, His character, and His authority. This is what it is to flee to the tower. This is what it is to run to a place of safety. You can trust in God. I'm going to read the rest of this verse, verse 17. To the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the stubbornness of their evil heart. That's what it is to come to Jerusalem, is to give up your rebellion, your self-will, your stubbornness of religion. You know, it really doesn't matter what we believe. If we don't believe the Word of God, we're not going to have the benefits of it. And the Lord gave us the benefits of safety, protection. He gave us the benefits of Psalm 91. Read Psalm 91. Most religions don't believe that's for today even. But God provided that for His people to believe and to trust Him. Psalm 34, another one. An awesome chapter which promises the protection and blessing of the Lord God. You know, the benefits of the full gospel that we started out talking about is not only deliverance from sin, but it's deliverance from the curse. It is the penalty for sin. That's what the full gospel preaches. Deliverance from the sin and its penalty. See, most churches don't believe you can do anything about the penalty. They live under the penalty, even though they believe that Jesus took away their sins. Or at least, most of them believe that Jesus forgave them of their sins, which is not quite the same thing. He also took away your sins, folks. You don't have to live under the curse of your own sins anymore because Jesus took your sins and nailed them on the cross. He wants you to continue to believe that until you see it done. The Lord is capable, if you will give Him the faith, to deliver you from your sins and to deliver you from the curse that comes along with those sins. Deuteronomy 28. The Lord Jesus became cursed for us that we might have Abraham's blessings. Galatians 3:13. So, put your trust in the Lord. Believe what His full gospel teaches. And get inside the tower, because it is a place of safety. Do you have something, Terry?
I was just going to tell you, Kim already had to leave, but she said before she left that she was feeling 100% better after we prayed for her, so that was good.
Praise be to God. Prayer works. If it's not working in your church, get out of there. It's not a church.
That's what she says. She says, you know, she says that she's not going to go to that church anymore. She's going to start going to Leroy's church. She also says she wrote a song and she'd like to play it. It's called Jesus, You Are Inside Me.
Okay.
And she's got it recorded.
Let me say something first. Before we do that,
She's done. She's already left. I mean, she had to go to work. Okay. She wanted to come and listen.
Well, you know, we're not leaving any church here, folks. We're outgrowing Babylon. We're actually going to the church. You know what the church is? The church is the called out ones, ecclesia. Church is a name that they have translated from. I know that it has some rather bad connotations, the word church does, but actually it's translated from the word ecclesia, which is the called out ones. We are called out from among them. Notice that the Lord said in this text, He would bring a remnant out of Babylon to Zion. You see, that remnant is the called out ones. What are they coming out of? They're coming out of Babylon.
Mystery Babylon.
Mystery Babylon. What did God say in Revelation 18? Come out of her, my people. You understand, folks? If you're in apostate religion that does not believe in the full gospel, but does not believe in the whole New Testament and believes it passed away and then it's extinct, then you are in Babylon. Come out from among them. Now, you're not leaving the church when you come out of Babylon. You're actually going to the church. You're leaving apostasy. You're leaving the apostate religious system that was created by men and has nothing to do with God's kingdom. That's what you're leaving. If you want to be among the remnant, come out from among them and be separate. When they disagree with the Word of God, make sure that you're agreeing with it. There's only one way you're going to know how to do that. You're going to have to get into it for yourself. You're going to have to read it for yourself. Let the Holy Spirit teach you, because He will. And if you don't know what the Holy Spirit's all about, get filled with the Holy Spirit, just like they were in the book of Acts. Because Jesus said the Holy Spirit is coming to lead you and guide you in all truth. If you've rejected being filled with the Holy Spirit, you've rejected truth. Because you will have an explosion of understanding after you get the Holy Spirit and start reading the Word of God after that. It'll just be a whole different word to you. He'll give you discernment of the spiritual realm. He'll give you the authority and the power to walk in it. Jesus said you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And you'll be witnesses. You'll be my witnesses. You know what it is to be a witness of Jesus? It is to be someone who walks as Jesus walked. You are a witness. He didn't say you would witness. He said you would be a witness. See, what the world needs to see in you is Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that's never going to happen unless you get filled with the same Spirit that He had. Jesus was filled with the Spirit before He ever started a public ministry. He demanded that His disciples, before they went out in the book of Acts to be ministers, is that they would get filled with the Holy Spirit. He educated them for 3.5 years with the true Word of God, and then He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." 10 days later, His breath came like a rushing mighty wind, and they were filled with the Spirit and began to speak with tongues and prophesy. And that's where the supernatural power of God entered into the church, and they started manifesting these wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're in a church that teaches that if that's all extinct, folks, you must think there's an awful lot of lying brethren out there that are sharing these testimonies of miracles and signs and wonders and gifts. You're just in a sheltered little clique there. Well, you come out from among them, because Hebrews 13 tells us that what the Lord gave us was an everlasting covenant. There is no place in the Bible, not one, where this was to pass away. No place. In fact, He told His disciples to go out and make disciples and teach them to observe everything that Jesus taught them. That means they were to pass on to us everything, including the power of the Holy Spirit and everything. But religion, Babylon, took God's people captive, just like Babylon did in old times, took God's people captive. And they were away from their city of God. They were away from their king. They were away from the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Bob?
Yeah, I would, just being that we're on this subject right here, I would encourage anybody, I know that everybody has, read through Revelation, I'm sure, many times, but in chapter 7, I've always found some real clarity that the Lord kind of reveals pretty clearly when we get from like verse 4 of chapter 17, Revelation, on through to where, if you want to read through to, 6 or 7 or 8, but speaking of the harlot and her array and the woman that sits upon the scarlet-colored beast. And just think about what you're reading right there and how familiar it probably sounds to you. And understand that this woman, this harlot, that a harlot is a woman that's having relations with someone other than her husband. And in this case, not having relations with Jesus Christ, but claims to be the bride of Christ, which we know that there was a bride out there in the time of when Christ came the first time to His first bride, Israel, and He called, she was a harlot, and she was spoke of as a harlot all the time with her religious ways throughout the Old Testament. Well, this time in Christ's return, we're doing a flip side. The Lord is going to usher in and turn back to the Jews, but there's another religion that's prevalent today, and it's again called, God's people. But there's apostasy in there, and if you read that, God can give you a real revelation that can provoke you to want truth, and He can bless you with that. So I just wanted to make sure that I pointed that out since we were talking about that.
Yeah, just as Jesus called a remnant out of apostate Judaism, today He's calling a remnant out of apostate Christianity. There's a direct parallel between the days of Jesus and these days that we're coming to. Matter of fact, the man-child in Revelation 12 is in parallel to Jesus' ministry, and we'll have Jesus' ministry in calling out a remnant from apostate Christianity. And folks, it's just like it was in His day. Only a remnant of disciples decided that they wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from Him. And the rest were quite satisfied with religion. But they didn't know God, and their leaders were sons of the devil, as Jesus said. And you know what? It's true today too, folks. Sad to say, but the closer you get to the Word of God, the more discernment you're going to get to see that the people that religion has propped up over Christianity in our day are a bunch of reprobates. Now, you get full of the Word of God, and you'll be able to see that. And by the way, why do they always get caught in some kind of either absconding with the money from the people of God, or taking advantage of them, or running aside with harlots, or all the stuff that the so-called leaders of Christianity have been caught in, and will continue to get caught in.
Overcome with homosexuality.
Yeah, overcome with such things as that, for goodness sake.
Yeah. I'm just going to say they have a form of godliness and they deny the power.
That's true. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. The power is not overcoming their old flesh. And they're not. They came up another way, as Jesus said of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They came into the sheepfold, but not through the door. Came up another way to take authority over the sheep. And, of course, Jesus raised up those ignorant disciples who had to put their trust in Him, because they didn't have any religion of man or formal education by the religions of man in their day to give them authority. They didn't come up another way. They came through the door, which is Jesus Christ. And today, if we have fellowship with Him, we can come through the door into the sheepfold. And as Jesus said in that parable, by the way, that he called his sheep by name and he called them forth out of the sheepfold. That was those disciples. Come out from among them and be separate. And today, he's calling out to you. Get familiar with the Word of God. I tell you, in most of the churches that you might be in out there, you sit down and hunger and thirst for the Word of God. The Lord will lead you in that Word. And it won't take long, a matter of months, you will outgrow your religions and your leaders. I'm telling you right now, just read the Word of God for yourself and believe everything you see. In a very short time, you will outgrow your leaders and you can be listening to the voice of Jesus Christ because He is the Word. You can still sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. He is not religion. He is not the pieces of the Word of God that they have chosen to confirm themselves. He is the whole Word of God. He is the aletheia of God. The truth of God, which means, the word aletheia means nothing left out. Not even what they say passed away with the apostles can be left out. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You see, folks, that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, then you abide in the Son. Hold fast to what was given in the beginning, not what the apostate leaders have led you into. Trust in the Lord your God and believe everything you read. And you know what? Jesus will live in you because He is the Word.
It doesn't say what you have heard from the beginning except.
That's right. Except this and that and the other. You know, they've got to make an excuse why they don't have the power of God. That's where they come up with this idea that it all passed away. You know, which is a bold-faced lie. You know, it hadn't passed away because I received it. Kurt, who's speaking up over there, he received it, right?
I was just saying, where's that word passed away?
Exactly.
All passed away, where'd they get it from?
They totally perverted the Word of God in order to do it.
Well, what do you expect from a bunch of guys full of dead men's bones?
That's the truth.
Yeah, Pope up there in Rome, that the head of the Catholic Church, and he doesn't even have enough power to deliver himself from all the sickness that he's going through.
Yes, the Pope is the greatest man in the world.
Here, let me read you this verse that some churches say is the reason why we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit anymore, and we can't lay hands on the sick and expect them to be healed anymore. We can't cast out demons anymore. All that passed away with the apostles. This is the verse that they always go back to, which has nothing to do with that whatsoever.
I'm going to tell my dog that, huh?
Yeah. What are you going to say? We've been laying hands on the sick and healing them for a long time now. Who is doing that? You know, some people would actually tell you that the devil is doing that. Can you imagine the devil's going around healing people? And casting out demons and doing all those good things? That's a schizophrenic doctrine, isn't it? You know,
that's a blasphemy.
How long is his kingdom going to last, Jesus said, if Satan casts out Satan? Come on now, folks. They were telling Jesus that he did his works by the devil. And you know what? Those Pharisees are still saying the same thing today of Christians. Oh, they're doing that by the devil. Oh, speaking in tongues is of the devil. You don't want to do that.
Well, you haven't really seen anything of that yet. When the latter-day rain really falls on the people of God, and the miracles are going to be greater than they were in the time of Jesus, the Bible says, these dead religions are going to have to say something. Because what the Pharisees and Sadducees said was, we're going to lose our position.
They're more interested in their position than they were in truth.
And so again, they will speak out and they won't receive the miracles of the true people of God. And that's where we're headed. You know, we're not very far away because the latter day rain is just about to fall.
Amen. Well, let me read this verse to you. It's in 1 Corinthians 13. It's the only one I've really ever heard out of these people for their proof that it all passed away. Okay? And yet, let me say this, that long after 1 Corinthians in the Bible they were speaking in tongues and doing those gifts and so on and so forth. Even many centuries later, and actually all the way up until our day, there's been a remnant of people that have never ceased healing the sick, casting out devils. Jesus said these signs will accompany them that believe. So if you want to be a believer, you got to have the power of God. I mean a New Testament believer. You got to have the power of God. And it says, for instance, in verse 8, 1 Corinthians 13 and 8, love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there shall be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. Have you lost your knowledge? Well, these others ain't passed away either, folks. Let me explain. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. What is it that's being done away? It is the gift in part. You see? What's he talking about part? It's very simple. The gifts come from the Holy Spirit, but they come through an unclean vessel. And there is a mixture. When he says we prophesy in part, he's saying it's part the Holy Spirit and it's part us. And there's a mixture there. But he is saying that you can mature with that gift. And as you grow up, there will be less and less of you and more of God. See, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, or complete, or mature, same word, is come, that which is in part shall be done away. So your partial ability to use the gift will be done away, so that the gift will come through you purely and cleanly. He said, to explain this, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. But now I'm become a man, and I put away childish things. Well, these people would have you to believe that they are men. And they put away the gifts of the Spirit, and they have become perfect. How ludicrous. They live under the curse. Their whole system lives under the curse. They don't walk as Jesus walked. They don't have the benefits that Jesus had. And they're mature. For goodness sake. He says, for now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now look, folks. If maturity is Christ walking in you, and Christ said, that if you believed in Him, the same power would be in you. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Maturity is to have those gifts in perfection, not in part, like Jesus had them. Look what he said. Now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. We're talking about face to face. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, you behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. That's face to face. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So maturing and growing up in the Lord is to be able to come to see Him in the mirror. That's perfection. Now, what are we talking about? Another Jesus or the same Jesus that walked in the Gospels, who had the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit? We're talking about the same Jesus. Yeah, Bob?
You see, the disciples, even in the time of Jesus, when they walked with Him, you remember the disciples coming back to Jesus, and they were kind of stumped, and they were, you know, just like the gifts were in part until they were perfected. And the disciples, they came to Jesus, and I think they were trying to cast a demon out, and Jesus responded to them that it takes great faith in that situation. Not that it always has to be that way, but they had not been perfected. They were like, you know, just like any of the gifts, prophesying in part. There was still a fleshly side of them that was not in perfect agreement with Christ.
Yes. Because it's in part, isn't that why we need the fivefold ministry?
Absolutely.
That's exactly right. Checks and balance, so the flesh doesn't get in the way.
Like Ephesians chapter 3 and 4 speaks about, we need to grow up in all things into Him. You know, and we need to We need to grow with our gift. As we gain knowledge of the Lord and how to hear the voice of the Lord and to walk in the Spirit of the Lord, the gift in us just grows. It becomes more mature. It's less of us and more of Him. You know, the gift is Him. It's Him coming to share the same benefits that He did in that first body. The reason Jesus left an individual body was to come back in a corporate body, to be manifested in us through the Word of God, through the true Word of God, so that the world would still see Jesus. He said, "He that receiveth you, receiveth me." Do you understand? His plan was to walk in His disciples in whom the Word of God was manifested. You know who the Word of God is, right? It's Jesus Christ, in whom Jesus is manifested. Now, you can have another Jesus who's a powerless Jesus, who doesn't do what the first Jesus did. Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians, right? Another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. But we want to manifest the same Jesus, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you've got another Jesus, repent, because you're an idolater. You have taken on one of the Jesuses of Babylon, one of the many Jesuses that they describe, which is a powerless Jesus. Don't buy that Jesus. Get the one from the Bible. That's the only one that's the true Jesus. And grow up in Him. And behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord until you be transformed into that same image. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." Jesus said, "These signs will accompany them that believe." And He said they'd cast out demons and heal the sick and all those things. Folks, don't try to describe what a believer is outside of what Jesus Christ described as a believer. He told us what believers were. Now, when we first come into Christianity, if you noticed in the book of Acts, baby Christians received gifts. But they received them in part. They had to grow up and have a mature mind in order to be able to walk in the fullness of that gift and share it with the body. And it's the same today. There's nowhere in here, He said, that the whole gift would pass away. Just our having it in part will pass away, you see. And quite frankly, the gifts are still with us today. They never have passed away. Even through the dark ages, there were groups of people who received the gifts, the Waldenses and the Moravians and many other groups that were still, even in the Dark Ages, receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. They were greatly persecuted, especially by the Catholic Church, as heretics. But these people believed what the apostles believed. They believed in the power of the Holy Spirit to save and heal and deliver. Many of the reformers were filled with the Holy Spirit and had the power of the Holy Spirit. Many of the people that religions claim as their forefathers, like Moody and Wesley, were filled with the Holy Spirit. Gifts of the Holy Spirit flowed to them. Now these religions don't claim those gifts. They just claim these people to be their forefathers. Well, it's not possible, folks. These men came back today, they would not claim these dead religions. They wouldn't claim them. They had the power of God. They walked in the power of God. They had gifts of the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't claim these dead religions. And they wouldn't claim some of these religions that are so-called full gospel. They wouldn't claim them either. So the truth is, we've got to get back to the Word. We've got to trust in the Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let that Jesus be in you, folks. Not some apostate Jesus. It's of man's making. Not some golden calf, you know. He came out of Egypt. Remember what happened to the Israelites when they came out of Egypt? They, in the wilderness trial, they created a golden calf and they called him Jehovah. And that's something, they gave him God's name, Yahweh. Elohim, they put on that golden calf. See, you might put Jesus on your God, but if he don't look like the Jesus of this Bible, you're just lying. You got a golden calf, you know. You got an image of the beast there.
What scripture was that Paul talked about, the another Jesus? You mentioned it, I missed it.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe. Let's see. 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll read it to you. Verse 2. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I espoused you to one husband, that I might present you a pure virgin to Christ. Well, it's the truth still, folks. One husband. You know what? If you're receiving the seed of the world, of the worldly religions, you're a harlot. You're a member of the body of the harlot. You were espoused to one husband, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. If you accept anything but the Word of God, you're a harlot because you're receiving the seed of the world. See, Jesus went forth to sow the seed, and the seed was the Word of God. That's what we're told. So don't receive anything but the Word of God. If you can't find your doctrine in there, throw it out. It's from Babylon. Okay, he goes on to say, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve, yeah, that's what's happening, in his craftiness, your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is toward Christ. Yes, that's what's happening exactly. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, and that's what's happening exactly, whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit which you did not receive, or a different gospel which you did not accept, you do well to bear with him. Isn't that something? You know, Paul warned us in Galatians that if we receive a gospel other than the gospel that he received, we're anathema. That's Galatians chapter 1. He says, I marvel that you're so quickly removing. Think about this, quickly removing. In that day, they were quickly removing from the gospel of Christ. What about today, folks, when men who came up another way rather than through the door have passed on their apostate religions that don't look... And you look at your... You go in your church and look at these people, folks. Do they look anything like disciples of Christ in the Bible? Do they look like they've been walking after the Jesus, the one true Jesus? Do they look anything like the early disciples? He said, I marvel that you're so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel of heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema. Folks, let me tell you who qualifies for what he's talking about right here. A lot of your preachers do. That's right. They preach any other Jesus and any other gospel than the one that the Apostle Paul preached, let him be anathema. Let him be devoted to God for destruction. Let him be accursed. That's what it's talking about. And I tell you, there are accursed preachers over a lot of churches out there. Repent. Get out of them. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Follow the true Word of God. I don't care if you got to go home and get in your Bible until you can recognize what the true church is all about. Do it. But get out of it. Okay? Verse 9. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preacheth unto you any gospel other than that which you received, let him be anathema. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I should not be a servant of Christ. Well, that's what we've got out there, folks. A lot of people that please men. They fill churches with just accept Jesus' gospels instead of repent and believe, right? Just accept Jesus' gospels. And they're anathema. There are a lot of churches, it would be better if you just got up and shut the door and nailed it closed and never went back there. They're anathema. They're leaven. What they say as a church is not. Is not. You are called out from among them. Be separate. By the way, that lady that I told you about, who got into the deep waters and got filled with the Holy Spirit, got healed, got the gifts of the Spirit, her pastor got pretty mad at me. Matter of fact, they threw me out of that church. I shut my feet off at the door. I kicked the dust off of my feet, literally, at the door. Walked away. You know what happened? The presbytery of that church decided that that pastor wasn't a pastor. Well, they'd never thought about that before. For some reason, they come across that he wasn't a pastor. He ought to have been a basketball coach or something. You know what? When they kicked him out of there, that church dwindled and dwindled and dwindled until it's, I don't know what it is today, but it's not even a church. Pretty soon there was nobody there. God cursed that thing and it died because it was not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an apostate institution of men. The poor woman couldn't get into the deep waters. After that, she did get into the deep waters. So, listen. If they preach unto you any other gospel and any other Jesus, let them be accursed.
It's kind of like the Music Man. The movie The Music Man. He comes to this town and he's going to teach all these people how to play music, and he doesn't know nothing about music.
No.
I was just thinking of Luke in chapter 2, where Jesus was a little boy and he was at the synagogue and his parents left and they were looking for him in the word, and he said, "Didn't you know I was about my father's business?" And he grew in wisdom and stature. I mean, Jesus had to grow up doing the Lord's work.
Yes.
Which is getting the word, sowing the seed, and in his heart and in the hearts of others. I mean, it's studying the word. That's what he was doing. He was doing that. That's how he was growing, studying the word.
True. Get into the word, folks. It's the tower of the flock. You get the word in you, you're in the tower. That's the place of safety. See, the whole reason for this world is to bring forth sons unto God. It's like the soil that the seed is planted in. The soil is not the seed. It's just corrupting to the seed. But the seed brings forth the fruit. That's the way this world, folks. God chose you from the foundation of the world to be planted here, to have this influence around you, but to be separate from the world, to grow up out of the world, and to bear fruit in the sunshine, but not be a part of the dirt of this world. Instead, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1, he says, "I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein also you stand, and by which also you are being saved," literally, the word there says, "if you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain." See, many of you are believing a gospel that does not exist in this word. You received a gospel that may have given you a new spirit in Christ and may have just planted you in the kingdom as a tare because it wasn't the true gospel. You may have received the Spirit of Christ. But I want to tell you, unless you walk after the Spirit of Christ, you won't bear the soul of Christ. You won't bear the fruit of Christ in this world. And if you don't bear the fruit of Christ, this tribulation is coming to take you away. Repent. The lukewarm are going to be spewed out of the body of Christ. They're going to be spit out. They'll be members of the body of this world. They'll be members of the beast. They will take the mark of the beast. So, remember what Paul said. It's got to be the gospel that he preached. None other. Otherwise, you just believed in vain. See, there are a lot of people who believe, but they believe what men say. They have a respect for men and not a respect for God. They'll depart from the word because they respect men and religions. That's idolatry. You're just an idolater. See? You know what idolater is? It comes from two words. Idololatries. And it means a servant to the things which are seen. Yeah. You see, the disciples, when they came out of that that fine temple with Jesus one day, was pointing out all the great finery of the temple, and Jesus said to them, there's one rock there, folks, that ain't going to be thrown down. Imagine how God respected that temple so much, He just destroyed it because of the wicked people that were in it. See, God is building a true temple, not made with man's hands. And everything that you see out there is not the kingdom of God. Jesus said the kingdom of God does not come with observation. And if you're not for me, you're against me. What you see out there that people claim to be Christianity, it's not. The only thing that's true Christianity is what's born out of heaven. What's born again from above. It's not the physical things of this world nor the physical organizations of men. It's Jesus and His kingdom. And it's Jesus ruling in you. He said the kingdom of God is within you. And it does not come with observation. The kingdom of God is within you. Where? It's wherever you're born from above. That's where the kingdom of God is. See? We, the spiritual man, the born-again man.
Not a temple of mortar and brick made with hands.
No. And they tell you, come to church. Well, that's not church. You can't come to church. You have to be the church. You have to be the called out ones, which will come out of the churches of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their dead religions. See, that's what we're called to in these days and always have been. You know, the Lord spoke to me clearly one day and He told me that religions were playpens. You know the playpen that you played in when you were a kid? Till you got big enough to climb over the bars and get out and walk with your father? You know, you need to be weaned from the milk so you can follow your father whithersoever he goes. There was a great celebration when Isaac was weaned because then he could follow his father. See, playpens just keep babies out of trouble till they grow up. That's all. Climb outside the bars that they have made and follow your father. Come out from among them and be separate. It's not till you come out from among them that you're the church, the called out ones. See, come out from among them. This word is the living word of God. The Lord wants it living in you. He wants you to be His witness. That means when people see you, they should hear the word of God coming out of your mouth, not some religion. Not come to my church.
Living tablets and stuff.
Be born into my church. Be born into the kingdom of God.
Living tablets of which the law is written on your hearts.
That's right.
You know, Karl Marx said that religion was the opium of the masses.
There's a little truth to that.
Yeah.
A little bit of truth to religion.
Is the opium of the masses.
Yeah. I know Bob and I talked about it one time, but it's amazing how some, you know, religious spirit will come over somebody and just confound their just common sense. I mean, even pagans will look at some Christians and say, why would I even want to be like that? Why would I want to act like that? All the time. They see right through it. And then you get people that...
They don't get caught in the traps with the deception that some of these Christians do.
Yeah.
They can look at these things on TV and laugh. I mean, what part of Jesus has people that sit up on golden laid chairs, you know, with cushy pillows and things, you know?
Yeah, what does that represent to you?
That's
it represents to me Babylon, not true Christianity. You know, think about the simplicity of those disciples who followed Jesus and sat and listened to His words. They were only interested in the Word. They weren't interested in the prosperity doctrine of the Pharisees, you know. They weren't interested in
monuments of men
and making Father's house a house of merchandise, like all the religions have, and all the people who follow their own selfish, lustful ways. You know, they're selling the gospel to you, folks. They're charging your tithes. so that you can come and listen to their gospel. See? They're merchants of Babylon. Come out from among them and be settled. They have an agreement with the government, most of them, almost all of them do. 501c3 government approval. They have to be careful what they preach, because the government has already laid down the rules. You will go on my site if you don't believe it, and look about 501c3 on my site. They have to agree not to preach some things that need to be said in order to be have their covenant with the beast, so to speak. If you don't think the government is of the beast, folks, you need to get in the Word and find out.
So the people that donate money to the church can deduct it from their taxes.
Right.
In Matthew 19 and 27, it talks about, well, before that it talks about a rich man that came and asked, you know, I've done all, obeyed all the commandments from youth, but what do I have to do to be your disciple? And he said, sell everything and follow me. You know, give up everything. Of course, he went away grieved, and Jesus said, you know, for man it's impossible, or for what is impossible for man is possible. All things are possible for God. And then Peter said, well, look, we've left everything and followed you. You know, what then will we have? You know, but that's what the disciples did. They left everything.
Including their dead religion.
Including their dead religion. Including everything that made, I mean, their jobs, everything.
Yeah, look at Paul. When he left his dead religion, he was a member of the Sanhedrin, was it? And, he, you know, when he spoke of it, he called it all before Christ Jesus was but dumb.
Philippians chapter 3. He was raised up as a Pharisee, and but he considered all that done for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He pressed forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You understand what God is interested in us is what's born from above. The Word of God, which came down out of heaven and gives life to the world, that manifested in us is Christ in us. That is Christian. You know, if you want to use the term that the early people called Christ's disciples, Christian, there's only one thing that's Christian, and that's the Word living in you. You know, not the dead religions, not the apostate methods, not the church government of today, but Christ living in you. And the only way you can do that, folks, is to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, like the Bible says, fear and trembling. Why is that? Because it's very important that you're not Antichrist, which is another Christ, right? If you're not for me, you're against me, which is Antichrist. You see, the church is full of Antichrist, because the church today is about to do, and still and has been doing. I mean, I was thrown out of a church because I preached nothing but the Word of God, the truth. And because the gifts of God were flowing through me, I was thrown out of the church we were talking about earlier. And that will happen to you in many churches. They still throw Jesus out of churches, folks. Because when the Word is thrown out, living in the people that are walking in it, they're throwing Jesus out. They still do that. You know why? Because nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. In Jesus' day, what happened there is happening again. And it's going to happen even more between here and the end. And God is calling a people out from among them to be separate, to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, and no fellowship with unbelievers. You know who unbelievers are? People in churches are unbelievers. They don't believe the promises of God. Full of unbelievers. You know what the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation is about to happen to what people consider their churches and their religions? Verse 2. He cries with a mighty voice saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. It's become a habitation of demons and a hold of every a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Folks, Babylon is a parable of apostate Christianity. It's not only a secular parable of apostate America, but it's a parable of apostate Christianity. In Jesus' day, that harlot that Jesus called his disciples out of, like Bob pointed out earlier, in Isaiah chapter 3, calls Israel a harlot. Why? Because they had turned away from their husband. They weren't only receiving the seed of their husband, they were receiving the seed of the world. And the same is true of Christianity today. Love of the world, full of apostasy. Repent. Come out. Don't receive of her plagues, you know, that are coming upon these dead religions. God is coming to destroy what you see that's not of Him. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. America is about to be greatly shaken, folks. Get ready. Write it down. I'm telling you the truth. A great shaking is coming to America. You think God's coming to save America? He is not. America is a kingdom of this world. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. All of you that worship America, get ready. America is going to hate and persecute you. Not only that, the American church is going to hate and persecute you. If you love this word and you walk in it, they will hate and persecute you. Get ready. It's coming. It's coming fast. We're going to our cross, folks. We're going to lose our life in this world. I'm not talking about a physical cross. I'm talking about a spiritual cross, a cross of death to self. Just like in Jesus' day, He was the body of Christ. He was persecuted by the people of God, so to speak, and was put to death. And He said, you take up your cross and follow me, or you can't be my disciple. Folks, if you're not hated by the religionists, you're not walking in Him. If they hated me, they will hate you, Jesus said. So repent and let the Word of God be your God. And be that peculiar people that God called you to be. And we have to have another pause for station identification.
That's so weird coming from the shrine.
Yeah. Okay.
Inside the station here.
Yes. You are listening to the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And you're listening on Spirit One Radio, American Liberty Radio, and some of you on Pal Talk. And American Liberty Radio is 89.1 FM on most of these stations.
Now,
a word from our sponsor, Jesus Christ.
Start reading the Bible.
We've been reading about our sponsor all night, folks. The only sponsor we got.
Stand up and stretch.
Yep, stand up and stretch. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father. The Father is our sponsor. And Jesus is our bread. Right?
Children.
The children's bread. We partake of Him. It will be so neat. But again, back to what I was saying. There is a great persecution coming, and it's coming from, that's right, you guessed it, apostate Christianity. So, folks, you're either going to be, those of you who proclaim to be Christian, you're either going to be among the persecutors, or you're going to be among the persecuted. Choose to be persecuted. You're going to be hated by this world. You're going to be made of no reputation. They're going to lie about you. They're going to accuse you of things that are totally false, totally lies, just like they did Jesus, just like they did His apostles. Okay? They're going to, sooner or later, they're going to tell you not to preach anymore in that name, just like they did those apostles. And who did that? The people of God, their leaders, the Sanhedrin, their false prophet leaders. So not to preach in that name anymore. That's where the church is going to, folks. We don't want to be offensive to the Muslims and all the other people, right? So they're going to have this generic Jesus out there. You're just not going to talk about Jesus only. I mean, all those people, all the religious people out there, they've got the same God, don't they? Well, that's what they're about to preach. And that's what the government is about to push. And that's what all the apostate religions of Christianity who are caught in their 501c3 traps are about to push, because they don't dare say anything else. They'll lose their tax-exempt status. Their little kingdom would crumble because God doesn't give to them. You know, the kingdoms of men, they have to prop them up by condemning you into paying your tithes and supporting their little religious kingdom, their little temple of Babylon. And if they don't, if they walk by faith like the early disciples did, they will crumble quick. They can't walk by faith. They have to charge you for everything. They have to charge you for their gospel. They don't have any faith. They're not people of faith. If you don't, if you're not going somewhere where the people are learning to freely give and freely receive, instead of charging and putting you under the Old Testament law to support their dead kingdom, get out from among them. You know, if you got faith, you can give everything you got away, folks. You know what? God will give it back. That's right. Because Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. And give, and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. If you just give, God will give to you. That's the New Testament. But if you're making merchandise of the Word of God, and selling your tapes and tracts and your chicken dinners and your, you know, all these goofy things that the church in poverty does, like they've got a poverty-stricken God, like they can't go to Him and ask Him for anything they need, get out of that. That's not a church. That's Babylon. See? Repent. Turn to the Lord. Ask God to lead you to true fellowship among the brethren. The real brethren, the disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to be in the minority. Don't look for the big crowd. I had a guy tell me recently, he said, I got a big ministry, and you got a little ministry, and that proves God's favor on me. I said, gee, that you ought to join the Catholic Church. You think big is better? Folks, it ain't that way. Big ain't better. Jesus had that little crowd of disciples, you know. A lot of people would have looked on Jesus as a failure. But you know what? He said, Father, I accomplished the work that you sent me to do. See, Jesus wasn't trying to empty the churches in his day. He was only trying to get the come-outers. He was only trying to get the ecclesia, the remnant. The rest of them? He wasn't trying to get them. He spoke to them in parables so they wouldn't even understand. He knew who they were.
If you look at the number of messages that Jesus preached that concern the coffers, and look at how many are preached today, it's a remarkable difference.
Oh, gosh. You know what? The people over here will tell you, I don't ever say anything about money. I don't see anybody in the Bible doing anything, you know, as far as every sermon that they preach, 15 minutes for a guinea sermon, we don't ever say anything about money over here. We've taught on what is New Testament economy, of course, but we rarely say anything about it. You know why? Because people got us so sick of hearing it. The money-grubbing preachers trying to keep their little kingdom from crumbling, you know, or build a bigger barn or build a bigger temple, you know. Well, you know what, folks? What we're going back to is we're getting away from the temples. We're going back to meeting in homes like it was in the beginning before apostasy swept in and gathered God's people into the fine temples like it was in the Old Testament. It's going to be fellowship again with people of God. You're going to end up rubbing elbows with people that weren't raised in the religion you were and probably have a different perspective on a lot of the Word of God than you and probably will be able to add something to your life. You know? You know, all the people over here, locally here, that are fellowshipping with us, they all came from different backgrounds.
And he said he's going to return and shepherd his own flock.
Yes.
A friend of mine who's a Methodist asked me what church I went to and I said, well, I don't really go to a church. I go to like a home church. And he said, oh, is that kind of like homeschooling? And I said, yeah, I guess you could say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you can say that. That's true. Well, folks, that's what's fixing to happen. But you know, the fastest growing church in the world is the home church right now. You know why? Because God's getting His church ready for persecution. He's getting them ready to have a low profile. You know, in Russia, when a great persecution came from Bolshevism against the Christians, mm-hmm. the church went underground.
Third world nations.
And the above ground church that was kind of allied with the state wasn't a church. It was total apostasy. They were puppets of the government. That's what's about to happen, folks. Get ready to go underground. The great persecution is coming. From the beast and the harlot, it's coming. The beast of the lost world and the harlot of apostate religion.
What's going to be left is...